The Cambie Report was produced and recorded on the traditional and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations.
It is September 4th, 2020, and there are 771 days until the Vancouver municipal election, and also 33 years to the day since I came into this world. This is the Cambie Report. I'm Matthew Naylor.
I'm Ian Bushfield. Happy birthday, dude.
Thank you. Thank you. I am, you know, rusticating out at a lovely villa on Vancouver Island in the town of Bowser, which I will get to a little bit later. And I am, you know, very happy to be here. And I'm actually still very happy to be podcasting. But if people want to get me a gift, maybe they should head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/CambieReport.
Patreon.com/CambieReport. That sounds like a good website.
Yes, that's right. Patreon.com/CambieReport, where they can contribute anywhere from 0 to 33, for example, dollars towards keeping this podcast up and running. So we've got a good show for this Labor Day weekend. Some drama in the NPA, some kind of reprehensible behavior from some people in Vancouver municipal politics, some rumblings about potential mayoral candidates, and go-go gondola. So let's get into it.
First off, I want to get to this piece in the Tai that just came out today from Jen St. Dennis, past guest of the podcast.
Friend of the pod, and it
really gets into this new or this continuing brouhaha of various groups that are trying to speak out about the situation in Strathcona Park and in the downtown east side. But in particular, it's getting quite vile. There are a number of individuals and groups that are starting to speak out and try to call for things like there should be an audit of the services that are in the downtown east side to see if they're cost effective. They're saying there's not enough safety in the situations. They call harm reduction a failed experiment, which I think the Supreme Court of Canada would disagree with.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to call something a failed experiment, you actually have to point to the data. Like, you have to point to data and show how the null hypothesis has been achieved. Like, you can't just say it's a failed experiment because I hate these people. It's a failed experiment because it fails to give me money while it appears to give other people money. Like, this is the kind of callousness that I find absolutely reprehensible in the right. And it's just so, like, it's disheartening and disappointing and, like, it's unbecoming of the kind of city that we should be. Like, the right and left at their best in the city have agreed on the need for infusing our drug policy with compassion and with understanding. And, like, to see people drifting away from that, to see people drifting into the rhetoric of personal choice and personal failings and using, like, just disgusting terminology.
It goes even farther than that. One of the current board members of the NPA, Christopher Wilson, was caught on tape telling people to consider, quote, start harassing these lowlifes, referring to homeless people using drugs in Yale Town.
Okay, well, first off, harassment is against the law, and that is, like, harassment with the desire to inflict mental distress on someone is a tort, and, like, they are exposing themselves to liability here. Like, obviously this isn't legal advice because, like, fuck those people. They
people
can get
saying
themselves
this, not
sued.
The people who need help or
no. The people, no, it's the people who are behaving reprehensibly and are, like, possibly going to get themselves sued. But have some goddamn compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that, like, this former rebel media employee, Christopher Wilson, who has weaseled his way onto the NPA board, is advocating, it's like stochastic terrorism. It reminds me of those kind of, well, if someone were to take the law into their own hands, kind of, you know, advocates who are not counseling you to go and do reprehensible acts, but they're going and advocating for, you know, individual liberty and individual. I get incensed about this, so I'm a little.
Yeah, total. I'll come back to the naming the names. Two of the groups that are making a lot of these calls. One is called Safer Vancouver, and the other is Step Up. And Step Up, longtime listeners and political watchers in Vancouver will remember from a couple years, you know, in the before times, before the pandemic, when the biggest thing people were upset about, in theory, was the cool tax surcharge that David Eby and the BC NDP had brought on. That, you know, that tax on that extra property tax on homes over, I think it was $2 or $3 million.
It was a substantial amount. And, you know, one of my favorite pastimes was to go and do my rides around Chauncey and just look up all those houses on and their assessed property values and see exactly how much money they would be expected to pay extra in that school tax. And it was not much. It was like a couple $1,000s at most. And that was the high end of mm-hmm. the thing. Like, I step up to what? The other group is, of course,
Safer Vancouver. It's a newer one, and it's seems like it's largely online. It's headed by someone named Dallas Brody.
Really?
Yeah, Brody is apparently a former member of the Shaughnessy Heights Property Owners Association.
Yeah, I know Dallas. Oh, man. He used to be a BC Young Liberal when I was active in the party. Oh, that's disappointing. It's hard to see people go down that dark path. Wow, that's gross and sad.
So on the other side of, I guess, the debate on the right, you have the NPA's elected caucus, who have now taken to forming their own or creating their own Twitter account at NPA caucus and releasing a statement essentially distancing themselves even further from their board. They say they categorically denounce the statements made by Mr. Wilson. They do not reflect the values of the NPA caucus, and it's signed by all the sitting councillors, commissioners, and trustees.
Well, maybe Rebecca Bly will have some company on the independent benches coming.
It makes me wonder, like, does the NPA caucus run against the NPA in this coming election? Because that seems to be where we're headed.
Yeah, and, like, given that this is, I mean, there is one more board election between now and the actual choosing of candidates. So I think that is probably going to be the one that is going to determine whether or not this shakes out to be a right versus right style issue. Those councillors will need to find a new home, and that will mean adopting some other party banner of some variety, whether that's pro-Vancouver or yes Vancouver or Vancouverada, the party, whoever, you know, those errant leftovers of the once great Vancouver City Council. It does indicate to me that, like, there is something happening with the right that is very at odds with the history of the NPA, where, like, a fairly, I would say, even disinterested, almost right-wing cabal of small businessmen usually appointed, like, civic-minded joiners that still believed in, like, a measure of personal liberty and opposing communism and socialism in its various forms.
That's always the classic reason for the center-right to get together in BC, is to keep the socialist hordes out.
Yeah, and, like, it's why I was there. I mean, in greater or lesser, and I'll be honest, it's why I was there. But the you can't change the formula of Coke without raising some ire. Like, there's going to be a Coke classic resurgence at some point, and new Coke, which I assume is what this entity is going to end up presenting itself to the general public as, i.e. a warmed over rebel media kind of redux thing is not going to be appealing to most people because it's so out of step with Vancouverite values.
I mean, there's definitely a fringe or a certain segment that values that. You know, Wei Yang didn't flame out entirely in the municipal election. She did post a number of votes, more than I think most people were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to get you the mayorship and...
Not enough to elect people to council at all. I think that what their strategy was is let's hijack the most, you know, by some definitions, successful entity in a political entity in the Western world and see if that can allow us to ride like Hannibal on an elephant to victory. But I don't think that's actually going to happen. Like, the Republican Party in the United States does this kind of maximalist approach, but it requires an entire side of a country to be united in like promoting maximalism rather than conciliation.
So I think leads us into this like series of articles that Dan Fumano's just been pumping out. You know, he's got one about Ken Sim that we'll get a bit more into. He's got more about how he's trading barbs with the party over campaign finances in the last election. And then he's just got a roundup piece that I encourage you to go and read on the key figures from the 2018 election. You know, where's Wei Yang at today? What's Hector Bremner doing?
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, both are not ruling out a future electoral run.
What? These incredibly ambitious people are considering running for politics?
Yeah. Well, at least Yes Vancouver still seems to exist versus Coalition Vancouver seems pretty defunct. But then again, yeah, you know, we're still quite a ways from an election.
And Yes Vancouver, I think, made a effort in the post-election period to actually have like salons and try to exert itself as a party that was interested in actually contributing to the civic debate, which is more than I can say for the NPA for most of its history, to be honest. Like, the NPA exists as a vessel to elect people rather than as a movement, which I think Yes Vancouver kind of sees itself more as.
But so what's really interesting about Ken Sim here is he, I think we mused on the last episode about whether he would run again and whether he'd run with the NPA, but now he's formally ruled out running with the NPA. And I think he actually expressed it to Dan Fumano as, I want to run against them. Not, I want to run for mayor. I want to run against Kennedy Stewart. It's, I want to run against the NPA.
Well, I mean, it's hard to run against Kennedy Stewart because it's like shadow boxing, but I think that's a good thing. I think maybe Ken Sim isn't necessarily the vessel that would be most effective at doing that, but it's nice to see that people on the right are as appalled as I am at this perversion of what being a pro-business civic politician, you know, pro-economy, pro-development civic politician is in Vancouver. It is essential that we stand up against these, like, regressive and hard right elements in our society, and it is I think most important of all that people on the right do it, because otherwise the right allows itself to become co-opted. I think we should like congratulate and praise the caucus for distancing themselves from the malicious and malignant elements that have reared their head on the NPA board, and so too with Ken Sim. Now, as to the political viability of such candidacy, I'm not sure.
So one of the things that lends some credibility to his run is Fumano reached out to Peter Armstrong, who observers and followers will know as like one of the big names behind the NPA, sort of the shadow power and the shadow money behind the NPA. He has been a member of the NPA for 30 plus years, but he said he's going to let it lapse because, quote, I've lost faith in the direction of the current leadership. The current administration is taking it in a reactionary, difficult direction. And he's more ecstatic to learn that Sim is considering a 2022 run and will help in any way he can.
Well, ecstatic might be pushing it a while, but I realize that I don't think I've ever formally quit the NPA, but I quit. This is terrible. I don't want to be associated with this party, and I resign. Yes, that is me publicly doing this right now, because
yeah.
I am so horrified at this. This is horrendous.
Yeah, it it's the Michael Scott I declare bankruptcy situation. You just have to do that and it's effective, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Scott didn't quit the NBA and was kind of expelled from it. But apparently all you need to do is kind of generally intimate that you're displeased with the party and then you'll be expelled. But I quit.
They can't fire you, you quit. Well, then let's cross the bridge and look at what's going on over in Surrey.
Yes. So speaking of blasts from the past, we might in fact have two past mayors blasting at each other in the next campaign, because a recent poll has former Surrey mayor and former Conservative MP Diane Watts leading current and also former Surrey mayor Doug McCallum by an almost 2-to-1 margin. This is a Polera poll that I'm not exactly sure who has commissioned it.
The National Police Federation.
Oh,
it says okay. In the Vancouver Sun piece.
All right. What an interesting choice. But the actual polling numbers show that 55% of those surveyed would vote for Watts, while 27% are backing McCallum, 18% considering voting for another candidate. This is, of course, very speculative. Watts has said that she is not officially considering anything, but she is, of course, not ruling it out, which to me sounds like she's definitely considering it very strongly.
I think we felt pretty definitive that it was Mario Canseco considering Kennedy Stewart in a poll and him doing pretty well that led to him running.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, polling moves politicians probably more than it is actually a snapshot of the actual race as it is, especially this far out at a municipal level. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much variety and variation that can happen in between now and election day, given that, like, we're, you know, how municipal politics shakes out.
I think one of the reasons the Police Federation did this was not for the mayoral poll so much as the question about the police transition plan, where they found 58% opposed the plan and 44% were strongly opposed. Those would be people who I assume either don't like the way McCallum is going from RCMP to Surrey PD or just don't want that at all. 70% would want a referendum.
No.
Agreed.
And like, I'm just fundamentally opposed to referenda because I don't think that they're actually like particularly good expressions of the public will. But the thing that I like worry about most with this kind of thing is, can you imagine if this went through and Surrey went back to an LRT plan compared to the SkyTrain? Like, I know that's very far-fetched, but like, that LRT seemed pretty locked in at the last,
you know. Yeah. Things change.
Things do change.
Another element of this poll that's really fascinating.
Back. And then they change back again.
There's an age breakdown of the support for Watts versus McCallum. And it kind of baffles me that among 18 to 34 year olds, McCallum is leading 42 to 34 over Watts versus the 55 pluses are 71 to 12 for Watts.
I think that's latency.
It may also just be the fact there's only 400 respondents to this poll.
Yeah, so it's not a, like, I don't know what the margin of error is in the breakdowns, but I also think that among 18 to 34-year-olds, I think that, like, are things totally falling apart in Surrey right now? Not necessarily. So, like, a default parked vote is probably going to favor McCallum. For those of people who remember Watts's last terms, I can imagine that those are remembered fondly, especially since they're falling right into the nostalgia cycle right now. And for those people who remember both Watts and McCallum's terms, I think that 71% speaks fairly well for itself.
And I think the last thing most younger people would remember about Watts is, if they remember anything, would be her running for BC Liberal leader unsuccessfully. Yeah.
Well, I mean, she might have a chance to do that again, too, pretty soon. But I'll leave that to Politicos to discuss. Finally, speaking of transit options, the construction on the $2.8 billion Broadway subway is to begin this fall. And the official consultation for the Burnaby Mountain Gondola started up a couple days ago. I have already filled in my consultation report, and I encourage everyone else to do the same. They are considering a couple of separate routes, including routes that include the kind of transfer station that allow for a bend, which both extend the trip and increase the cost of the station.
So the big question with the Burnaby Mountain Gondola is, I think there's a lot of residents in the Forest Glen area. This area sort of just like up the hill from Production Way. Mm-hmm. There's at least enough who have been vocally opposed to the idea of a gondola going over their backyards. So TransLink is considering two ways to kind of bend the route so it either goes from Production Way kind of towards Burquitlam, but not to Burquitlam, because there will be no reason to go there. You know, there's only a couple thousands of homes going in there, and it only takes 25 to 40 minutes to get to SFU from there by transit versus mm-hmm. 8 by car. It's a very weird location. And the other route would go to Lake City Way, which frankly, in my mind, makes no sense, because that station shouldn't exist because there is nothing there.
Yeah. No,
not that there's much at Production Way, but at least it's an established hub.
Yeah. I mean, Lake City Way exists, I think, mostly out of a desire to put the stations in kind of an even distance apart.
Yeah. It would have felt too long if you didn't have it there.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I've known people who do use the station like very regularly, but it is not a station that I can imagine gets a ton of traffic given the largely industrial and trucking complex businesses that surround the area. I think there's a large trucking hub nearby, but mm-hmm. like those have trucks. So it is essential that the people who are using the gondola to get to SFU fill in that consultation. So do get to that TransLink website. They are going to be presenting to Burnaby City Council in relatively short order. So make it a part of your Labor Day weekend plans, or do it first thing Tuesday morning. Make sure you get onto that website and fill out the consultation. It does not take very long. It's just a couple of questions about where you live and how, like what type of transit you use and how often you have to go to Burnaby Mountain. As for the other major construction project, $2.8 billion are got to be pumped into the ground, including a station that has stolen my Tim Hortons, which is very sad for me, but I will sacrifice for the greater good.
Yeah, so the announcement on the Broadway subway earlier this week was mostly the announcement of which firm they'd picked. They picked mm-hmm. the Spanish infrastructure engineering firm Acciona and Italian tunneling company Gela, who'd come together as a private consortium. I don't think there had been too many other bids, because this is a very complex project, and it's not like you can just start a company and be like, I'm going to build a subway halfway through one of the densest parts of Western Canada.
It would have rightly been refused. And, you know, we didn't have the foresight of Calgary to keep that right-of-way clear under 7th Ave. Man, it's kind of upsetting that we have to, like, look to Calgary as a city with foresight for its public transit projects.
Part of that is just it wasn't as built up as early. And what was built up was, like, horse cart.
Well, no, this was during the run-up to the 88 Olympics, when Calgary, like, purchased the right-of-way and then built built a station under City Hall that has never been used. But it is there, and I think it is well thought out. I think that the fact that Broadway is a historic road in Vancouver, and, mm-hmm. you know, it has long been built up, is a very different thing. But well, we're gonna build a subway, and it is good. So,
and by 2025, in theory, it will go to Arbutus, and maybe eventually it will go to UBC. But await further money announcements from the province and federal government for that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, maybe Justin's listening and feels like giving me a birthday present. Send it all the way. It's nice to see these projects finally start to break ground after so much talk. It's the first major construction of subway line since really the RAV line. I know the Evergreen line also it is a fairly substantial expansion, but like it is the first in Vancouver since RAV.
Well, the Canada line.
RAV, Richmond Airport, Vancouver. Yeah,
right.
Sorry.
Okay, fine.
I'm using the archaic term.
We're on the same page now.
Yes, we are. But not the same landmass. So why don't we move on to Vancouverada?
You're on Vancouver Island. You mentioned the town of Bowser that you're in. Where does that town get its namesake?
So Bowser is named after one of BC's early premiers, John William Bowser. John William Bowser was not a particularly successful premier. He only served for about a year.
That was actually pretty common in the early years before we had parties.
Yes.
Because no one could keep dysfunctional BC politicians together.
Yeah, and he was succeeded by one of his friends. He was also, and I think this is a little more interesting, he is the only premier that we don't know where he is buried. So a while ago, a couple of years ago, a man on Vancouver Island tracked down every grave of every BC premier, and I believe visited all of them, but he couldn't find the grave of John William Bowser. Now, it's not because he's still alive. He would be quite old if he had survived to this day. And in fact, his death and his funeral are well documented. His funeral was at the Anglican Cathedral in downtown Vancouver, and no one seems to know where that casket went after what the Vancouver Sun describes as a marvelous ceremony. So I have been a little bit obsessed with this recently, and I have been cycling around like the Masonic Cemetery, because he was the chief of the BC Masons for a year in 1915-1916. And so I thought he might have been buried in the Vancouver Masonic Cemetery, because he was, well, buried after the inauguration of that cemetery. If anyone knows or has any information as to the whereabouts as of the bones of John William Bowser, please do get in touch, because it's driving me crazy.
You can find all our contact details at cambyreport.ca. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, I think.
Yes.
Tell us where Bowser lives. Or rests.
Yes. Help us track down the bones of Bowser. Support independent journalism, independent civic journalism at patreon.com/cambyreport. Thank you all for joining us on this lovely, relaxed Labor Day weekend, and stand strong against the rising tide of evil that appears to be polluting Vancouver's right.
Not just COVID-19.
Yes. Stay safe, everyone.